And now, an Adventures in Odyssey Club exclusive.
And now, Adventures in Odyssey.
BTV!
Hi, welcome to BTV. I'm Connie Kendall, and I'm in this museum of ancient artifacts with esteemed archaeologist and adventurer, Dr. Harrison Jones. Can I call you Dr. Jones?
Oh, please. And as you can see, the exhibit we're in is full of ancient artifacts I have personally collected from all around the globe.
Ooh, what kind of artifacts?
Idols. Look over here. This is an Asherah pole, one of the idols the ancient Israelites worshipped in the Old Testament. And here, this is a statue of Baal.
Oh.
And this one is Dagon. And this is the fire extinguisher.
Oh.
Not an idol, but still very important.
Of course. I couldn't help noticing your idol exhibit was missing a few pieces.
Missing? Where are they? Deep beneath the pyramids of Egypt? High in the mountains of China? At eye level in the Amazon rainforest?
Actually, they're a lot closer than that, Dr. Jones. We'll find out more as we explore idolatry today on BTV.
Hear, O people of Israel, I, Moses, have returned from the mountain where the Lord, the one true God, has given me the law on these stone tablets. Hey, what's going on here?
Okay, Moses, you're back.
Aaron, what is going on here? What is that golden calf doing up there on the pedestal? Are they bowing down before it?
Yeah, I think they're stretching.
Praise the golden calf, it's our God now.
Why are they singing that?
With the music the kids are into these days. Who knows what it means?
Aaron, where did this golden calf come from?
Well, you were gone for so long up the mountain, and the people gotta worship something, so they asked me to make them a god.
Uh-huh.
They gave me all the gold jewelry, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf.
Wait. You threw their gold jewelry into the fire, and out came the calf.
Well, look, I don't know what to tell you. I was surprised as anyone.
You want to throw some more gold in the fire and see if a better excuse comes out?
The human heart is a factory of idols. John Calvin.
Here at Appleberry, we're always looking to the future, trying to find the next life-changing product. And today, we're going to show you our latest device that will revolutionize the world. Our lives are busier than they've ever been, especially with all the time we spend with God. God takes up so much time. Well, not anymore. Today, we introduce the idol. We have created a device that allows you to now put things before God. It's the best we've ever created. With idol, God will no longer be the first priority in your life. Is spending time with God getting in the way of your career? Make your career your idol. Want money more than you want God? Make money your idol. Jesus asked you to leave behind your fishing nets and wealth to follow him? Now you can take all those things and make them your idols. And I know what you're thinking. Does it have a camera? Well, no. It has two.
These days, we don't see as many people worshiping graven images made of stone or gold or wood. That's because idolatry often goes by another name.
Which is?
I'll let the dooby-dooby-doo mystery solvers explain that.
Kazinkies! We finally caught that idol who was haunting my great-aunt's shoelace factory!
Boinks! Like that's a totally scary idol, man.
Okay, idol. Let's see who you really are.
Yes!
That's right. I, covetousness, am often disguised as idolatry.
It was you who was making people love things more than they love God?
Oh, yes, that's right. When you covet something, you love it more than you love God. And when you love something more than you love God, you'll do anything to get it and keep it. There's no stopping the sins that come from coveting.
Well, now we know your real name. You won't be tricking anyone into thinking idolatry is an outdated sin anymore.
Yeah, and I would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for you meddling kids and your enormous dog.
Meow.
It's a cat.
Whatever.
Whatever we love more than God becomes an idol. Money, fame, friendships, Family, sports, television, hobbies.
Well, even something good can be an idol?
Yes, if we love it more than God.
Hmm. Can you illustrate that point with a story?
I think so.
And now, BTV presents Gifts for Madge and Guy, Part 2. Once there was a guy named Guy and a Madge named Girl. A girl named Madge. And they were very much in love.
I love you, Madge.
Oh, I love you too, Guy.
I know.
They were also very poor. So poor, they had to sell their porch to pay the bills. To keep from falling out the front door, they hired their neighbor Ethel to be their porch.
Bye, Madge. I'm off to work.
Ugh. Morning, Guy.
Morning, Ethel.
They had so much love and so little money that last Christmas, Guy sold the only thing of value he owned, his gold watch. He sold it to buy Madge a set of lovely combs made of pure tortoise shell with jeweled rims. Madge never dreamed she'd actually own them.
Oh, Guy, I never dreamed I'd actually own these.
And Madge sold the only thing of value she owned, her beautiful, long, silky hair, to buy Guy a gold pocket watch chain.
It's beautiful, but I sold my watch.
Oh, and I cut my hair.
What an ironic set of circumstances that demonstrates our selfless love for one another.
Oh, Guy, you big lug.
Oh.
As time went by, Madge's hair began to grow back.
I told you it grows fast.
And then there was a knock at the door one day.
Which day?
Today.
Oh, come in.
In came their neighbor and front porch, Ethel.
Hello, darling Madge. Oh, hi there, Guy. I've come to give you my 2-week notice.
What? You're not going to be our front porch anymore?
Well, as much as I enjoy being your front porch, I got a new job. I'm gonna be the second floor balcony for that new hotel opening up downtown.
A second floor balcony?
Yep, I'm moving up.
Oh, we're sorry to see you go, Ethel. You've been the best front porch we've ever had. But we should celebrate your new job. Oh, Guy, do we have anything in the pantry?
Oh, don't you remember, Madge? We sold the pantry to pay the library fines.
Oh, what about the cupboard?
Sold the cupboard to pay the heating bill.
Why don't we all enjoy a nice glass of water?
We sold the glasses to pay the water bill.
Ethel, how do you feel about drinking water out of a hat?
Sure.
Great. 3 hats of water coming right up.
Say, Ethel, how did you find this new job, if you don't mind me asking?
That's classified information.
Huh?
The job was right here in the classified section of the newspaper.
Oh.
Are you looking for a new job?
I just wish I could buy back my father's watch to put on the gold watch chain Madge gave me.
Where is the watch?
I sold it to a guy who sold it to another guy who sold it to a... Well, it's a long story. But now it's at Fishbein's Jewelry, and every time I walk by, I see my father's watch hanging in the window.
You found your dad's watch in the window?
It's hanging up there on a nail.
Can you buy your dad's watch in the window?
Not with what I make working retail.
What is it you do now?
I'm the welcome mat at the grocery store.
Hey, look here. Mr. Fishbein posted something in the classifieds. Wanted, hardworking guy. Hey, you're a hardworking guy. Guy. Maybe you could work to buy back your father's watch.
Here you go, Ethel. Ooh, I hope you're thirsty. We only had 10-gallon hats.
So, the next day, after Guy finished his shift at the grocery store...
Ooh, have a nice day. Thanks for shopping with us.
Guy made his way to Fishbein's Jewelry.
Hello, Mr. Fishbein.
I'm Morty Fishbein. Who are you?
Well, I saw what you wrote in the classified.
Hey, not so loud. Those are classified.
Ooh, sorry. Look, could I speak to your dad about a watch?
Dad retired. I run the place now.
Oh.
And what I need is someone to dig in the gold mine I'm starting under the shop.
Why are you mining for gold under your jewelry shop?
Dad always said this shop was a gold mine.
Huh?
It's hard work, and I can't pay much for the digging. But if we strike gold, you'll be rich. Rich enough to buy whatever you want, including that gold watch there in the window.
The one hanging up on the nail?
Don't do it. So you want the job or not?
I'll do it. Anything to get my watch back.
What will happen when Guy starts digging for gold? Will he get back his watch? Will Madge ever find cups? Will we stop rehashing old jokes and come up with new ones?
Doubtful.
Find out when BTV returns right after this. If you're just tuning in, our topic is idols.
Okay, I get that idols are still around and can be anything, but what's the big deal? Idols can't do anything, they're just things.
Well, idols can cause real harm. When we worship something other than God, we give it power over us.
And by worship, you mean bowing down and chanting?
Well, worship takes on many forms. Just ask your wallet.
My wallet?
Hiya, Dr. Jones. It's me, your wallet.
I did not know you could talk.
Mr. Wallet.
Oh, please, please. Mr. Wallet was my father. Call me Wally.
Okay.
I have so many questions about what you just said.
Wally, who does Dr. Jones worship?
Oh, go on, Wally. Tell him I only worship God.
Well, from a wallet's point of view, sometimes you worship God with your money. But I gotta say, you use a lot more of your money to worship brown fedora hats and leather bullwhips.
Well, I don't pray to them.
Yeah, but so much of your money goes to them and foist to them. I have to wonder.
Get back in my pocket.
Hey, wait a minute.
Or maybe we could ask your time.
My time?
Hello, I'm Dr. Jones's time.
My wristwatch is talking. Watches can't talk.
Oh, just watch me.
I get it. And who do you say Dr. Jones worships?
Well, he spends about an hour a week of me in church. But most of the time he uses me to binge watch shows he probably shouldn't be watching. And he spends a lot of time dusting his action figure collection, even though his mom keeps telling him to throw those out or at least sell them.
All right, I get the point. But those action figures are collectibles. They belong in a museum.
Worship takes on many forms, and all of those forms belong first to God. When we replace God with something less worthy, the results can be...
Keep those pumps going, men! Shiver me timbers! What's the problem, Mr. Christian?
We have a God-shaped hole in our ship, and water is pouring in. If we don't plug that hole fast, we'll sink!
A God-shaped hole? How did that get there?
When we changed course and turned away from God. A God-shaped hole opened up.
Do we have anything to plug it?
I consulted the ship's manual. It said that a God-shaped hole can be temporarily filled with an idol. But the idols can't completely fill that hole.
Well, keep finding new idols. One of them's got to do it.
Captain, might I suggest we divert course and turn back to God? Perhaps God alone can fill this hole.
Oh, no, 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 man. What are you thinking? Keep shoving more idols into that hole. One of them has to fit.
But if we don't patch that hole soon, we'll sink.
Then we sink.
I'm sorry, Captain. I can't allow that.
Mr. Christian, is this a mutiny on the HMS Bounty?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Carry on, then.
Oh, well, very well.
We now return to BTV's presentation of Gifts for Magic Guy Part 2. Part 2.
Guy took the job with Morty Fishbine. He spent his days working as a welcome mat at the grocery store.
Thanks for shopping.
And his nights digging in the gold mine.
Oh, I'm exhausted, but it'll be worth it to finally buy back my father's pocket watch.
Guy, I came up with a great name for our gold mine. Ready? Fishbine Mines Fine Gold Mine Finds.
Nice delivery.
Thanks.
All the while, Guy tried to hide his night job from Madge. But Madge was starting to notice that Guy was up to something.
Guy, are you up to something?
Why would you say that?
Well, you look so tired all the time. Oh. You still can't sleep through the night. Hmm. Last night you said you had to get up to take a walk. What is it?
It's this thing I do with my legs to move from one place to another.
No, no, Guy. What's going on? You're so stressed and covered with bits of rock. I miss the old you.
All right. You should know. Madge, I'm working a second job in a mine to earn back my pocket watch. You sacrificed your precious hair to buy me the watch chain, and it seems in vain if I don't have the watch to go with it.
Oh, Guy, you don't need the watch. The watch chain I gave you is a symbol of our love, just the way it is.
You're right. How silly I've been. First thing tomorrow, I'll quit working with Morty at Fishbine Mines Fine Gold Mine Finds.
Nice delivery.
Thanks.
So, after work the next day, Guy stopped by Fishbine Mines Fine Gold Mold Things, Fishbine Men's Full Gilt Bat, Anyway, he went to talk to Morty.
Morty, I've got some bad news.
And I've got some good news. We struck gold in the mine. We're rich.
At first, Guy was dumbstruck. Then he raced back home to tell Madge the good news.
Madge, drop whatever you're doing.
Okay. What is it?
Ask me what time it is.
Okay, what time is it, Guy?
Let me check.
Oh, your father's watch! But how did you afford it?
Fishbine Mines Fine Gold Mine Finds struck gold this morning at 9:15. And that's not all I bought.
Guy reached into a box and took out a beautiful silk and satin dress.
I don't know if that cuts your style.
No, it's for you.
Delayed?
No more living in poverty. From now on, nothing but the best.
Madge and Guy moved to the luxury penthouse of the new hotel that just opened up in town, the same hotel where Ethel worked as a second floor balcony.
Oh, I'm so happy for you two.
Guy bought Madge everything she could ever want. He bought her new solid gold combs to wear in her beautiful, long, silky hair.
Oh, how lovely. Oh, they're a little heavy, though. Where are you going, Guy?
Back to the office.
You're always at the office. I never see you anymore.
Oh, I'll see you this weekend when we take our yacht to the yacht club to play Yahtzee.
But, Guy...
Listen, Madge. Morty and I invested all our gold into a diversified, monetized, homogenized, calcified portfolio. Got to keep up with the market trends if we want to turn our money into more money.
But don't we have enough money?
You can never have enough money. Don't you remember all the things we had to go without when we were poor? Now we can have everything we want.
But all I want is you, Guy.
What will happen to Madge and Guy? The answers and much more when BTV returns after this.
And welcome back to BTV. Today's topic is idolatry. We've seen that idols aren't only ancient gold statues, but anything in our life that we make more important than God.
So, how do we get rid of idols? Fire, acid, bury them deep beneath the shifting sands of the desert?
No, much simpler, but also much harder. If we create idols by turning away from God, the only way to destroy our idols is by turning back to God.
And then God destroys the idols?
When we order our heart so that there's no greater love than our love for God, all other things fall into their proper place.
And then those things are no longer idols.
Right. When God is the first love in our life, like He's supposed to be, all other loves are made better because we're also loving them the way we're supposed to, the way God made us to love them, not as idols, but as parts of God's creation.
All loves are better when they're in their proper order?
Mm-hmm. When we love God above all other things, we're not giving up other loves. We're gaining the right way to love them.
All right, talk to me, Rodriguez. Who am I dealing with?
We picked up this guy a couple of hours ago. Calls himself the Apostle Paul. Some say he also goes by Saul. We're not sure if that's an alias or a typo.
Uh-huh. And what was he doing?
He was being content.
That's a crime.
He's poor, he's cold, he's beaten up. How on earth can he possibly be content?
He's got to be hiding something.
Well, if he is, I'll get it out of him. Let me out of
him. Here you go.
All right, Paul. You say you're content?
I am.
Even though you're cold and hungry and in want?
Yes.
Even though you don't have any money?
I am content. I could be poor, I could be rich. In all things, I am content.
Ah, cut it out. What's really going on here, Paul? What's the secret to your contentedness?
My contentment lies in Christ Jesus.
Nonsense! Everyone knows the secret to contentedness is to buy cool things and have lots of money and friends and be loved by people.
Those things will never lead to lasting contentedness. And those things will never be fully enjoyed the way they should unless you first find contentedness
in Jesus. Yeah, I know. Hey, you look thirsty, Paul. Have some water.
Thank you.
Is contentment in Jesus going to quench your thirst?
If I drink water, I will be thirsty again no matter how much I drink. Nothing I could gain would satisfy me unless I first find contentment in Jesus.
All right. So, you'll be content if I take away your lunch?
Yep.
Or your chair?
Yep.
Or I take away your pet monkey?
No, Mr. Bananas, I mean, Yes.
Or I take away your nose?
Yes. Ow.
And now, part 3 of Gifts for Magin Guy, part 2.
Since striking gold, Guy and Madge had gone from living in a pantryless shack to living in a gold-plated penthouse.
Oh, Guy, please take the evening off and have dinner with me. Surely we have enough money now.
We'll never have enough, and don't call me Shirley. There's a very important meeting, and I can't miss it. I'll buy you something nice on the way home. It'll make you happy.
I'd be happier in our old house with you than in this palace without you.
Unfortunately, that same day, Guy received some terrible news.
Sorry, Guy. I have some terrible news. See, all that gold we found turned out to be fool's gold.
Oh, well, as long as... What?
I should have listened to my dad. He said digging for gold under the shop was a fool's errand. I didn't realize that was what he meant. I rarely understand what he says.
No. No, no, I'm ruined!
Guy ran through the rain back to the penthouse, only to find some unexpected guests.
Who are you guys?
We're the repo men. Your check's bounced, so we're here to take all your nice stuff back.
No, my big screen TV, my rare paintings, my balcony!
That's all except for one thing. You got an antique pocket watch?
My father's watch? You're taking that, too?
You owe a lot of money.
No.
Guy unfastened the watch from the gold chain Madge had given him. And as he sat alone in the empty penthouse, only one thought was on his mind.
I have to find Madge. But where could she be?
I'd be happier in our old house with you than in this palace without you.
Of course. Madge must have gone back to our old house. I'm coming, Madge!
Where are you going, Guy?
Guy turned around and saw Madge coming out of the kitchen.
Madge, you're here! Oh, I thought I was hearing a flashback of something you said earlier.
Oh, no, I said that just now.
But it sounded all echoey.
I was in the kitchen. It has great acoustics. Listen! You've forgotten what matters most, Guy.
Oh, Madge, I've lost everything. We're poorer now than we ever were.
All that wealth was a distraction, Guy. You spent more time making money than you spent with me.
But I wanted to buy you nice things.
The most important thing I need is to be with you. I'd do anything for you, Guy. That's why I sold my hair to buy you that watch chain.
And that's why I sold my watch to buy you the combs. It was never about the gifts. It was about the love they represented. Madge, you are, and shall always be, the first love in my heart.
And you will forever be mine.
Hey, we probably got a few hours before the repo guys kick us out of the penthouse. Want to make use of the kitchen's acoustics?
Oh, sure.
Do.
Do.
2, 3, 4.
Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me.
Oh,
do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me.
Oh, I love you, I love you.
Now, as we all know, the story of Magin Guy is an allegory.
A what?
An allegory. It's a story that teaches a deeper meaning.
Oh, so what were we teaching?
Guy's love for Madge represents our love for God. Madge gave Guy the watch chain to show her love. But when Guy started to love the watch and money more than he loved Madge, they became idols. And those idols led to more and more idols.
Now I realize that I've spent my whole life collecting idols, and not just the ones in this museum.
Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." If we love idols instead of God, we'll find ourselves on a never-ending journey chasing after and being disappointed by them.
True. Although what I meant was I have thousands more idols stored in wooden crates than a giant secret warehouse guarded by top men. Top men.
Well, we hope you learned an important lesson about idolatry. And we'll see you next time on BTV.
Thanks, Connie, Harrison Jones, Madge Guy, the Apostle Paul, and everyone else at BTV for helping us understand more about idolatry.
Oh, and I especially enjoyed hearing that actress who played Madge. What a voice, huh? She's so talented and pretty and elegant and so modest. Oh, sorry. Where were we now? Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. BTV Idolatry was written by Sam Sixeri and directed by Phil Lawler, with sound design by Nathan Jones and music by John Campbell. Our executive producer was Dave Arnold. Our cast included Katie Lee, Will Ryan, Andre Stoika, Chris Anthony, Whit Hertford, Keith Ferguson, and Jason J. Lewis. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.